Feral Audio, live. The first comedy special from Feral Audio. 2 hours of stand-up and improv, hosted by Dan Harmon and Aaron McGaffey.
But we are hosting it. I didn't know they made albums anymore.
They sure do. They make them every day.
Featuring an opening meditation by Duncan Trussell.
How wonderful it is to be here tonight at the Feral Audio special album taping.
Steve Agee.
That's f***ing embarrassing.
Little Esther Pavitsky.
Dorky-ass crowd, I like it.
DJ Dougbound.
Turn down for Doug.
John Roy.
I'd be like, I got a notebook full of jokes. And as soon as I learn to tell them without my hands shaking, I'll make as much money as a school teacher.
Melissa Stevens.
This is going to get real graphic, and it's recorded, so.
And Brody Stevens.
You got to be ready at a Brody show. You got to be ready.
On sale now at feralaudio.com/shop. Get a $5 audio download and an independently produced video special for just $10. Visit feralaudio.com to learn more.
Live from Los Angeles, it's the Feral Audio Podcast Show!
Jimmy Crane's a nerd. Jimmy Crane's an improv nerd. Jimmy Crane's a nerd. Oh,
hey everybody, this is Jimmy Crane, and you're listening to another episode of Improv Nerd, sponsored by the Dallas Comedy Festival. Submissions for the 6th Annual Dallas Comedy Festival are open now through January 4th. Submit your improv, sketch, or stand-up act now. The festival takes place March 25th through the 28th in beautiful Dallas, Texas, and is a production of the Dallas Comedy House. So check out DallasComedyFestival.com, that's DallasComedyFestival.com, to submit to the festival. And remember, giddy up, y'all. We're also sponsored by my award-winning improv classes here in Chicago, The Art of Slow Comedy. I've got two great opportunities for you. On January 3rd, it's a great way to start off the new year, I've got my two-person scene tune-up. So if you really want to fine-tune your two-person scenes, check out that workshop. Also, I've got a Fundamentals of Art of Slow Comedy starting January 7th. So, for more information, all you have to do is go to my website. That's jimmycorain.com. That's jimmycorain.com. We have got a very special episode for you today. If you're fans of Broad City on Comedy Central, I'm talking about Abby Jacobson and Alana Glazer. You are going to love this episode. Now, we don't get to improvise with them. It is a strictly straight-on interview. And you are just going to enjoy this immensely as much as I did. And these guys are so classy and so fun to be around and just really nice people besides being super funny. We talked to them about how you go from making a web series to getting a show on Comedy Central and how important it is to set goals. We talked to them about UCB. We talked to them about their relationship. You are going to love this episode. If you listen to this podcast, you know that I'm 50 years old, and I try to stay relevant, I try to stay cool, I try to follow what's going on in the comedy world with the younger generation, and these two, Abby and Alana, were not on my radar, and thank God for my assistant slash producer slash, I don't know, it's graphic designer, Chloe Fitzpatrick, because she was a big fan of Broad City, and she said, you know, you got, when she saw him coming to town into Chicago, they said, you've got to interview them. So I went and I did my research, and I loved what they do. I watched some of their web series, and you just read about them, and I'm really glad that this happened. And I just want to say they were just two of the nicest people. So here it is. I know you're going to love this. It is Broad City, Abby Jacobson, and Alana Glazer.
Jimmy's a nerd, he's a nerd, oh yeah. Jimmy's a nerd, he's a nerd.
Okay. Alana, now you grew up in Long Island, and you were always a ham as a kid, and you made a lot of funny videos with your brother. What drew you to improv?
Well, I knew I wanted to go to college to get into the scene. It was really the UCB theater and the community around it that was improv seems a good way to get in. I did stand up. My brother and I produced a sketch show, but it wasn't the same as writing something down, you know, once we started making Broad City. But improv was the you know, the most clearly a group thing happening. Like, we've talked about going to UCB for the first time is like finding your tribe. And it was like this thing of like, okay, I could do stand up and I like the people and stuff, and we can curate sketch shows and write individuals to come and do a certain slot on our show. I know,
why are you Abby's laughing?
I'm apologizing for this drum.
Now, you guys are very...
That it's in your
shut the
podcast.
Door.
Definitely shut the door.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a drum going on in the background. You guys are very accommodating. Like, we showed up early and you're very apologetic.
I really apologize for that. I don't like that kind of thing.
I did too. I'm like,
is that,
you can't think, apologize enough. It's
do you
sucks.
Think that's something that you learned growing up, or is that like an improviser thing? That
I don't think it's an improviser thing.
I feel like, I know a lot of improvisers that are not very...
But accommodating in general of like accommodating your team.
Yeah, and also like you guys are like coming out here, and it's like your time, and we're like, fucking, what the fuck's going on, you know? It's not cool.
But I feel like it's more of like a business thing. You know, your time is worth... Mm-hmm. What it's worth.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I think is so interesting about you guys, is because you did Broad City as first it was a web series, and I know I'm jumping ahead on my questions, but I don't care. You did it as a web series, but and then you took a year off, right? From it?
No days off, baby.
No, but I mean, didn't you... You did the first season of the web series, then you took a break, and then you came back and said, we're going to do this more professionally?
It was like sort of like... We did do that, but it wasn't a year. It was like 2 months.
Okay.
So we...
And it wasn't like taking off. We were writing a pilot and filming the second season of the web series.
Well, like the first year when we did the first season, it was very much like one foot in front of the other. We would write one, and then we would shoot one. We'd come up with an idea, write it, and shoot it. And then after the first season, we were like, let's, like, stop. Let's write all of them. Let's treat it like it's a TV show. We came up with this little mini web series in the middle called Hack into Broad City. There's video chats.
So it was like supplementary content almost.
So it was like every week. We were going to 15
weeks of content.
So what was important for you guys to say, okay, we're going to... We don't have the deal with Comedy Central. We don't know if the deal's ever going to come from anywhere. But we're going to treat this web series...
We weren't
series.
Even thinking of Comedy Central at that
you
time.
You weren't at all.
We weren't thinking about a TV show. We were just like, this is a web show. But we felt the first season was awesome, but was very... we didn't know when we were going to write the next... It was very unorganized. And I think this is where we like figured out we both like... we were getting response, and we were like, let's set a launch date. Let's set deadlines so that us and the people we're working with have something to work towards, and like... Then on the first day, we'd be like, for the next, you can expect a new episode every Wednesday or Monday.
The first season was like, you know, we were thoughtful or planned ahead in terms of, we have a weekend, we can shoot, these are 2 minutes, which is like 2.5 pages. We can do, we can film 4 in a weekend. Let's do this. And then we'd release every 2 weeks for a while. It just wasn't that, you know, and then we were like, no, let's do the whole season as the package.
Yeah.
And I also...
But not for Comedy Central in particular.
It was just for the YouTube.
Right, because... Yeah.
For the sake of itself, truly.
Yeah.
As an exercise, like, let's deal with this being more professional?
Sure.
Yeah, and well, it was sort of like we had been taking classes at UCB, and then we were on this improv team together for a long time, for 2 years.
Independent team. Now, you didn't ever make a team on UCB, right?
We were on this indie team called Secret Promise Circle together for 2 years. And at the same time, we're trying to get on the house teams.
Mm-hmm. Which is very, very competitive. It's very hard.
Yeah. And we couldn't get on. Mm-hmm. And it took... No one really on our team got on for a little while. Even though they're all
so
fucking talented.
Dude, Tim not getting on? The guy who actually introduced us?
Tim who?
Martin.
Tim Martin. Okay. He plays Dale in 109. In the, I don't know if you've seen it, but in the limo with the balloons, Alana!
In the TV show
tall
version.
Tall ass redhead.
Okay.
And
he introduced
been on,
us first.
Mm-hmm. He's now, like, been on a house team for a long time.
And he's just in commercials. He's just, like, so insanely talented at comedy and improv and just being funny. His improv skills are so good. And it was just like, listen, I'm auditioning for a team, but why isn't Tim on a team yet? You know, it really was like that.
I mean, it was really like... You know, at when you are sort of in that scene, those Howard Herald teams are the thing.
Right.
You're very tunnel vision.
Right. People think it's the center of the earth.
And then, because we couldn't get on them, we were sort of like, And I think we were both like, we're good at, like, we're funny. We know we're fucking funny. We can do this. Let's just do something. Like, fuck it. Let's just make something ourselves. And without any limitations or restrictions, let's just do our thing. And I think it really was because we couldn't get on this.
I just remembered something. One year he auditioned.
This is Tim.
Mm-hmm. His email is Tim Martian. He let the A be added because Tim Martin, obviously like a billion people are named Tim Martin, so he couldn't have that. So they meant to email him, you made it, but he didn't get it because he had Tim Martian as his Gmail, which is like, dude, don't do that.
I thought they like called you and you got on.
No, they email you. He misses the email, devastated. Then he finds out they made the email mistake, elated. We didn't want to be, after a point, it's like, yeah. I don't want to be subject to somebody's email that tells me what to feel. You know what I mean? It was like, it felt so good to like look at each other and be like, let's make anything. Let's just make a thing. And to make it. And then we always say like, sending the link to our parents was huge to
but
us.
Also,
sending the link. What was that?
Link to the video. Series.
Okay, instead the first of being couple like, episodes
yeah,
of the web series.
My show was great last night. They're like, great. You know, it's like we wanted to like show our parents and our
but
family,
also,
you know?
I mean, for years you put so much time and energy and money into this thing of trying to get on a house team, trying to get on an improv team and be successful at that. And we were like, well, if that's not our main goal anymore, we're going to put just as much, if not more, energy into our thing because now our focus has shifted and this is like the thing.
The fucking
you know?
Thing.
This is the thing that is going to... Not we weren't thinking like this. We're gonna ever get a TV show
at
or
all.
Anything.
Not
it was just like
that.
You gotta make your own material to be satisfied
because,
in that world.
Like
you
the
know?
Web series market is saturated these days. You know, it's become yeah. this known vehicle. Whereas when we were starting, fucking lucky enough, so lucky about the timing of this all. It wasn't a big. It wasn't like web series. Like, not just comedians do web series. Now it's like a workout web series, you know, like if you want to be like a famous trainer or whatever, or a trainer with like a lot of clients, like it's such a vehicle now. You cold?
I'm very cold.
You want to, I don't know. You
I'm thinking I'm
some?
Just cold in Chicago.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That's what we're known for.
Yeah.
Deep dish pizza.
And being cold.
Michael Jordan and being cold.
Yeah. Cold to your bones.
Yeah.
Cold
am,
down
yeah.
to
yeah.
the fucking bone.
You're not going to warm up until
I
like
know.
You're down to Austin
yeah.
in a couple
How many,
weeks.
How many months of warm do you have? Is April truly warm?
No. It happens like June.
July,
like they keep
August,
pushing,
that's it.
They keep pushing spring and summer back.
Fuck.
Yeah.
June, July, August, that's it.
No, wouldn't you say, Chloe, it's like July and August is warm?
No.
June,
well,
June July,
year,
and August.
This year is
yeah.
not bad.
Yeah.
The biggest snowstorm ever is in April in Chicago.
Yeah.
April.
It's nuts.
So annoying.
It's nuts.
But, at the end of our first web season, we met our manager, who is our manager today, that you
mm-hmm.
you just met before, Sam, and she was like, this could be a TV show. And we were like, a what show? And so, like, that's when we got, like, season two, let's, like, make this a thing, and let's write a pilot and pitch it. And,
Now, she sat yeah. down with you guys, and you guys do weekly goals with her, and you're in bigger...
Are you asking? Or did you, like, read this that we said this?
I read this.
Oh.
Is this true?
I don't know about weekly at this point.
But do you like, set goals?
Yeah.
And
like
what are your goals?
We have individual projects.
Share.
We have projects as a pair.
I mean, I send Sam, first of the year, the goals for myself, which include, like, a chunk
yeah.
of Broad City goals.
Me too. Mm-hmm. We definitely do Gen 1. With
okay.
And it's just so she knows, like, where my head's at, like, what I really want to do for the year.
Mm-hmm.
But we have goals, like, a goal that Sam really brought to us was this tour. But also a goal is also we really, like, we do a UCB show once a month, and that's something we really care about. Bless
mm-hmm.
you. Because we care a lot about that because we could not get on those teams. So, like, still performing on
that stage
is really
honor.
Important
mm-hmm.
to us.
That stage is an honor.
Why do you think it is? Because... I've been in improv for a long time. Improvisers were not focused people. What is this goal setting? You took a class at UCB that helped
yeah.
you with goals. How has that helped you?
I think this, and I see it in a lot of my, or saw it in a lot of my friends in the community when I was feeling this way too. It's like, we all want these things and we all like want to find our voice and then create these things for ourselves. But it was like, it's like, how do you start? What do you do? What, you know, and this class sort of made it like, oh, well, you can do it. You just have to really put the time in, focus, set up this sort of plan for yourself, and like hold, you have to be held accountable. Because, or else it's like,
do you hold each other accountable, Alana?
Definitely.
Do Abby accountable? And
yeah,
how does that
absolutely.
Work?
Like one thing, just like a tangential thing for our solo projects, when we like check in on like, how's this going? How's this going? It makes us be like, you know what, I think I'm gonna call the agent that we both have. I'm gonna call Susie and yeah, I'll check up on my thing too. It's nice. It's like,
because we have like kind of similar things like at the same time separately. And it's like, because we have the same agents, it's like, well, I'd call them about my thing. Like, what, not, it's not in a competitive way. It's just sort of like,
or it's like a
well,
good...
if you can make time for yours, then I should, like, we have the same schedule. So it's like, oh,
we
if
know
you're, like, carving
every...
out time for your thing, I have can find some time for mine, you know?
We know
if
each
I'm writing
like...
this thing, you can write your thing, because we have the same fucking schedule.
We know what each other's time is worth, because we make the same money. You know what I mean? Like, we really know what each...
I think I make a little bit more money.
How?
On the show, right?
How?
I'm just kidding.
I know.
The same though.
Go. Tell me how.
I also do craft services on the show.
Great.
Yeah.
Wait.
And don't you make keys too?
Yeah. I make, if anyone,
keys?
If anyone gets locked out, I have a key, I have a grind.
Weirdly,
a key
but was that,
carver.
But I would imagine.
Weirdly, Abby has a key carver
in my bag.
Right, right.
I carry it with me.
She has a portable key carver.
But was that clear when you started? Like, we're both going to make the same amount of money. We're
oh,
going into
I
this
mean,
together.
Obviously,
because
exactly
it's
thing.
Like split, like the mm-hmm. split down the middle. Like that would be so fucking weird if we didn't. But
well,
like
it
we
wouldn't even make
thinking,
any sense. We do exactly the same thing.
But we seriously again, like the thing of like we did not aim at Comedy Central. We weren't even aiming at TV at first at all. We.
How did that change? Besides what your Sam, your manager said, like when Amy Poehler got involved, did she? Say that help you out there too as well.
I just have to say that, like, finish that sentence is that we just like we didn't aim at Comedy Central or television, we didn't aim at like money either, really.
Yeah,
but spending our own money, like, it started being this subconscious drive, like, making that money back. But like, we it wasn't until like the first, very first check from like buying having the initial script deal. Like
with
it's
Comedy
like
Central.
With FX.
With FX.
And then they passed, we took the script that we had written there to Comedy Central.
So FX
But it's
gave...
like, until you see a check in your hands, you don't know you're going to make money from this. It's unbelievable.
So
it's unbelievable.
When you were doing your web series, you guys were investing your own money into it.
Yeah.
You were actually paying some people.
Yeah.
We worked at where my character works at, Deals, Deals, Deals. Mm-hmm. The real company is called lifebooker.com. We believe it's in Chicago. Check
we,
it out. We don't know.
We
though.
Work there next to each other. Mm-hmm.
And
so
made
that's how
the second season, the real business experience in the web series during that time. But we worked to pay for it. But then you had other questions. I just had to like finish that thought, but you had Amy and exchanging.
How did, you're telling me we had no way this was going to be a TV series when we started, and then Sam, your manager, said this could be really a TV series,
yeah.
And then Amy Poehler gets involved. How does that change things?
So while we were making the second season of the web series, Sam says this, and we're like, okay, let's write a pilot. So we're making the second season and writing this pilot at the same time, and we're like, we're going to finish up the second season in like May, go to LA and try and pitch this as a show. That's like our plan.
And I'm just laughing because we like took this like 2 months off to like make content, and we had like gathered viewers at the time, but the self-importance, not in a douchey way, but just like general agency.
You have to you have to take your shit seriously.
Like, I'm just remembering this time of like, we would always go to this choice market near work after work and spend like 3 or 4 hours writing after work. And we were like, we gotta fucking finish. Nobody cares.
Yeah, like
nobody
no
needs
one was...
us to finish. Nobody's paying us. But like, we really needed to meet those fucking deadlines. That's when a deadline means something. When it fucking means something.
I think
something.
If you get a positive response, it's like enough of an accountability. Like, that
yeah.
is what holds you accountable.
Right.
Where it's like, we got a positive response on these first 3 episodes. Like, that is so satisfying, especially in the comedy world. It's like having a great show
mm-hmm.
3 times. You're like, I gotta keep doing this. I gotta practice. I keep doing this. And it was like, we gotta keep fucking coming up with this shit. You
but
know,
you were,
this is working.
But you were going. So it's the 2 months
yeah.
off, we're writing the pilot in the second season and filming it.
And so that was the plan. And then we're getting to the end of the second season. We're like, oh, we're gonna have this finale. The finale cost us about $7,000.
Out of your own money.
Yeah, and the director
us and TJ threw Disney,
in,
a director.
The director helped us too.
How'd you raise that money?
From working. Like, I lived in Astoria. I mean, we weren't like
was like
crazy.
$675 and like went up yeah. over 4 years. Went to
we just
seven,
we
seven
were like
15.
Used our savings. This was like it. This it. If you've seen the web content, that last episode that Amy's in is mm-hmm. a different level.
Mm-hmm. And she got six of it, $6,000 of it.
Yeah. Yeah, she needed that.
We paid her $20. No, we didn't pay her. We didn't pay her at all. But it was really just, like this is
what
important
else
to us. Why not
on?
Spend our money on it? You
but
know?
You guys say that. But here's the thing. You put your money where you were investing in yourself, where a lot of people would say, doing improv or sketch, I'm not going to pay for a coach. I'm not paying for a director. I'm not going to pay for posters.
Like,
you know what?
We
what,
are,
you know,
quote unquote, poor or whatever at in those times, but we are also living in the first world. It's not like paying for an improv coach is going to take a meal away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And it.
Yeah, like we were like saving money. Like
we're talking about like taking improv classes. It's like therapy. It's a version of therapy. It's like this is not a necessity. This is something you're choosing for yourself. And just like therapy, I'm like that's a luxury that I want to give to myself. Improv, if you like are drawn to improv, it feels so good and it's so important to you that it's like okay, pay for it then.
I also feel something. I hate saying this because I do support a lot of projects on like Kickstarter and crowdfunding things, but I gotta say the fact that like we used our savings and like used our money to make it, I felt like it was like I owned it.
It made us
like
work
I,
a different way. It
yeah,
made
like
us
I we were like on top
it.
Of everybody, you know, because it was like our
you editing
yeah
it's like, for that $100
yeah.
bucks, and they were like, yeah, you paid me $100. Nobody else I know is paying me $100. You know, like just that. It was. It's just a fucking symbol. Money isn't real, even. You know what I mean? It's just a symbol of something.
You said something. It made us work a different way. What? In what way?
I think you're like. You're. It's like make. It's like if you put. You're like.
She got away with words.
I think
baby.
It is. You're giving yourself no other option when you're using. Your own save, like.
What do you mean by that? I love that.
Well, like, it's not like we had. We, I mean, Alana is better at saving than I am at that time too, but like, you know, when you're really really using what you've been saving, like what we were like. You know, I was like maybe 25.
I see what you mean. If you don't have the savings, you're like, that's what I spent my savings
this
on.
This is like, I spent my savings on this. This is really important to me.
I'm very anxious.
You know?
So
it has to be something.
And like the way I grew up with money, like I had a buffer, but like also I felt the same
oh,
way.
Oh, that what? Well, I used my whole buffer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're anxious around money in terms of what?
Just like the way I grew up about it.
How did you grow up about it?
I was just saying this earlier, that my parents like honor their parents who grew up in the Depression era,
mm-hmm.
and they like fear money like it is God, you know, like the fear of God. It's like kind of like that where it's like careful. So I just, especially when I didn't have that much, I just saved. I had like necessities, you know, like rent, food, weed, for real. And I was a comedian, so I didn't have to pay for shows. Great. I just saved. I, like, didn't buy fucking anything. It's like,
did you tell your parents, oh, I'm investing my savings into the show? And what
no,
did they say?
I didn't.
Why didn't you tell them? Because you were afraid?
She didn't.
You
didn't? Because it was your whole thing.
I live very dangerously with money.
But also smartly. It's responsible in
I'm
a way.
Like,
it's responsible
it's,
in a
it's
way.
Weirdly, like, how my dad does, too.
Yeah.
I'm, like, upper middle class. From outside Philly, like
sure,
my parents did.
Wayne, my wife grew up in right out of it's not far from Wayne. What's that park that
Valley Forge?
Valley Forge.
Yeah,
park.
Went to Valley Forge Middle School.
Yes, yeah.
So like my, you know, I grew up not like wanting anything, but when I moved to New York, I was like on my own. But I had this conversation with my dad once, where I was moving to a new apartment where I like kind of couldn't afford it unless we sold the show. And he was like, I don't know. He was like, you gotta just go for it and you'll make it work.
They would never.
I think you have to be, it's like really power of attraction where it's like, well, now this is my expenses. I gotta figure out how to make it work. It's like living a little dangerously, but like, it makes you like hustle more.
It's also like you're living dangerously, AKA working hard and earning money. better than doing drugs and like fucking like scary people or something. It's like, that's a good version of living dangerously. I think it's responsible because you pay yourself back.
There's been some. Oh, I know. She's like, I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
Man, I can't
there were moments.
What do you freak out about?
Oh, well, no, there were moments where I was so
it
broke.
It was like, how am I going to pay for it this month? Mm-hmm. Like, really?
No, like, there were, when we were making web series, I was like, dude, I don't know.
And it's funny. It's like, we're the type of people where it's like, you could ask your parents, but you're
I could,
like,
but
nope.
No, because no. Then it's
this
like,
you're going to go into dominatrix
no,
before she
I could
did
totally
it. No,
I have asked my parents, but I just, you don't want to. Go back, you know?
I, like, couldn't have.
Is this
you know? They, like, didn't have it. So I was just like, I'm going to chill in an apartment, like, like, the highway was outside of my, like, window. You know what I mean? Like, just in this, like, gross but, like, charming and lovely apartment. But, like, I was just like, you'll sleep on my couch. Like, you know, it's just a different way, but each of each other's ways help each other.
Is Alana the one who's driving a lot of the stuff in terms of when it gets crazy, or do you guys go back and forth? Like, I'm sure, you know, like, in terms of, okay, let's take this risk. Let's go to the next level.
No, that's her. Right? I feel like you have, like, the big, you're
like,
naturally
the same way I am with money. It's like,
dreams,
let's try to do this.
And I'm more like logistics, the way I am with money. Logistics and, like, the... like little steps of how to get there, which was a great thing from that CAPES class, would be like, you do a year goal and then you halve it, you do the half year goal, mm-hmm. and then the 25%, you know, 25% mm-hmm. goal. And then I'm like, okay, 75% is last. But it's like, you know, the little steps I focus on, like how to actually get there. Abby's like, this is nuts, okay? This is nuts. And I'm like,
but we should do
what? But you'll also be like, yeah, that was nuts. Or you'll be like, see? It was, you know, but it's, you know, you throw it at the wall, whatever sticks.
So the other interesting thing is you both, you're an illustrator. You had, you also had some film experience, right?
A little bit of video.
Okay, video. You were doing stuff with your brother, video stuff.
As a kid and then as a somewhat, if you want to call it an adult.
A somewhat of an adult. And how important is that? Because, again, a lot of people say, oh, I did this great sketch at UCB, or I did this great sketch at Second City or Magnet. All I have to do is film it. How much is it like, okay,
that's interesting.
That doesn't work on what works on stage doesn't necessarily work on film. So
no,
how much has that helped you guys out?
I mean, like, it's that stuff plus the whole web series was learning that kind of stuff. The web series was what made us really... learn our shit. We still go back to being like, how did we deal with this in the web series?
We're so much better. We were on this improv team for so long together, but I don't think that, like, the two of us on that team on stage were, like, the best pairing.
Oof, nope.
I love what we do as Broad City, but I don't think we were, like, necessarily, like, improv team.
So if I went to saw you on an improv team, you guys probably wouldn't have the same chemistry as you do on Broad City.
No.
But I mean, we had chemistry on
but
stage, but it's not the same because it's like in the show,
it's,
she
it's
can like say something under her breath and I can like take a second to like do some fucking eye thing and it's like, but on stage, it's more like this is a thing and this is how we move forward. You know, it's like makeup. Like makeup for TV and film is very different. Stage makeup is fucking nuts. You're like a nutcracker with the blush on stage, you know? It's the same thing with the acting of, like, being blatant versus nuanced on screen. So
you have to... I think it's treating each thing as, like, its own... Like, that's why I like when... I like to make sure people know that when we were making the web series, it was really for the web. And then the TV version, I think we really focus on, like, this is TV version.
Because it's
a different genre, different medium.
Mm-hmm. If you're like, this is medium. Just a step that I don't really... It's, like, contrived. When you feel like somebody's one-person show being just an audition, they're going to make as an audition tape for SNL.
Yeah.
Or when it's, like, a web series, you can see now people who think they're on their way to making that web series a TV show. It's like, dude, you may get an amazing writing job that you can't even think of now or an amazing acting job that you can't picture now. But, like, this one track, it's the same thing as the house teams of the one-track mind. It's, like, open it up a little bit.
So did when Comedy Central finally picks this up, do you have to make compromises? Do you have to make changes to what you had done?
Totally. I mean...
And what were some of those changes?
But they're helpful.
They had really good notes. I mean, just like in the pilot, I worked in a coffee shop. And then they gave us a really good note. Like, maybe we come up with a more interesting place for
but
Abby
that's
to work.
Like, that's like unleashing versus limiting.
Yeah, yeah,
is
yeah.
like, budget and censorship.
Yeah, and
so like we can't use every music, we can't use every song that we want, or popular songs because they're too expensive, and we can't be naked, which we don't want to be. So I'm like, we're like glad we're on Comedy Central, mm-hmm. and we can't love say like blurs. Fuck without it being bleeped.
Mm-hmm. What about in the web series?
But I want to say beyond yes. that, they like free us in so many ways creatively.
How do they do that?
With their notes. They like
really great.
So you accept them. You're not going in there defensive and
we're
like,
not always like, what do we have to do?
They're sort
it's
of
like collaborators.
They give
really.
Us notes and then don't. They're also like, you take it or leave it a lot of times.
We're not
too,
expected
which is great.
To take these notes. It's truly a creative process. They are truly giving creative notes and don't think they're also the creators. They know that they are like the executives and they are really good at that job. Just like I wouldn't want to make a web series as a pre-TV show. I wouldn't want an exec who is like a pre-comedian or something, you know? They do their job really well.
And how are you guys adjusting to the success in terms of your relationship?
I don't know if it's that's really affected us. I think we're just like,
well,
really busy.
The success for our relationship we've just been like, whoa, dude.
It's actually
just
good
a lot
because
of that.
We're like the only people that are like, this is interesting.
We are mirrored. Really grateful we have each other because alone this would be frightening. This is yeah. so weird and like overwhelming.
What's weird about it? Because so many people would love to be where you are, you know, and they think, oh, when we get it, all my problems go away, but...
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
No, I mean, it's not even...
It's like...
It's not even most of the time. It's just like right now we're on tour. It's like this saturated
experience.
We're going to a place where we're performing, you know, like
where people know us know and are coming to see us. So it's just like all these people in this room know us and saw the show and like people who are... willing to drive to the city and pay the money for the tickets and like follow up on we had to like postpone the show after we got picked up because they were like now we're like
this
shit.
Was Comedy Central when you got the second season yeah, you were supposed to do the show
in
here.
March and yes. then we had to move it till this November which we ended up being
did
great.
You guys feel bad about that?
Oh, we felt terrible, but we were writing like we went right into the writer's room
and they were just like our reps are more experienced with this stuff so they're like this happens all the time and like people don't always even do the show later. This happens all the time and we were like okay, and we like tweeted some shit being just like, oh, fuck, sorry, you guys. But it's also just like, whatever, nobody even cares that much. But the people who like spend the money and like check up on the postponed tour and drive to the city, they've probably seen most of the episodes. That's crazy to be in a room where these people know that shit.
Is it the fear because, oh, I have a huge expectation. This has got to be as good as the Comedy
yeah.
Central show.
The live show?
Yeah.
I think it's also a thing about what we were talking about earlier. Like, the live show is also a different medium. Like,
it's
very
for the
different.
Stage.
Very, very different
are like,
from the TV
this
show.
Is, like, people are like, find it weird, you know?
It's really a weird show.
Not so much on this tour as much like when we were just doing acts. We did like Toronto and Montreal. Like, that was weird. Not inside the context of Broad City Live. It was weirder. Just like our we're weird, you know what I mean?
So weird in terms of what you do on stage?
Our content.
What,
I mean,
what,
it's
what do you,
us.
What do you
it's
do that, that's
us.
Weird for people that haven't seen?
Are you coming tonight?
No, I'm not.
Ah, oh, you know, there's two shows, 8 and 10:30.
Sold
out. Yeah, we can get you in.
Okay.
And you're welcome.
Well, I have to teach tonight.
Okay.
But you know, Chloe would love to come.
Dude, of course. Come. And you can get a plus one, please.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's so nice.
Oh, my
you,
God.
You've just,
you,
she
who
is
you
the
wanna,
hugest Broad City
do it someone
fan.
Who you want to bag. You know what I mean? You'll get it.
I know her comment.
So I quickly want, before we go, mm-hmm. I ask my guests all this. What piece of advice, Abby, would you give to somebody starting out in comedy and improv today?
One piece of advice. I mean, this is so generic, but I would say... One, like, be patient, because it's going to take a little while to find your voice. And once you feel like you find your voice, then don't be patient. Then really change gears and go full force.
That's specific and perfect. That's awesome.
Alana, one piece of advice you would give somebody to starting out in improv and comedy today?
It is truly the means and not the end. If you focus on the end, people, like, smell that, and it's, like, not hot. You actually have to have fun. It has to be so fun that you can't stop doing it.
Abby and Alana, thank you so much.
Thanks.
And there you have it. Another episode of Improv Nerd is in the can. And I want to thank Broad City, Abby Jacobson and Alana Glazer. And check out their show on Comedy Central. I loved when they were talking about their relationship with money and how they put money into the last season of the web series. It just, they really believed in themselves and invested in themselves, and I thought that was really cool. I also want to thank Will Hines for making this happen, and Lincoln Hall here in Chicago where they were performing. Also, I want to thank my producer, Dan Schiffmacher, and Chloe Fitzpatrick, who was also a producer on this as well, and for giving me the idea and staying on me to make this happen. If you want more information about me, Jimmy Corain, and my award-winning improv classes, The Art of Slow Comedy, and my improv blog, which will make you a better improviser, and it will make you a better person. Well, the person part is up to you, but it will help you with your improv. Go to my website and sign up for my newsletter, and that's jimmycorain.com. As you know, we are taking over social media. We're doing it one step at a time, first with Facebook. So go to Improv Nerd, our Facebook page, and like us, because it really helps with my low self-esteem. And then when you're done doing that, go over to Twitter and follow us at improv_nerd, and then go to our YouTube channel and sign up there, because we have some great videos up there. We're also on Feral Audio, and we aren't alone, because Feral Audio is a podcast collective. It's got some of the most funny and unique podcasts out there today, so go to feralaudio.com. Again, I want to thank our sponsor, the 6th Annual Dallas Comedy Festival, which will be taking place March 25th through the 28th in beautiful downtown Dallas. And more importantly, I want to thank you for listening, because we couldn't do this without you. And until next time, remember, walk, don't run.
Let's say Seinfeld was on an island, yeah, and he was blowing Boris Karloff. What would that be like?
And it might go something like this. Oh, Mr. Karloff, I loved you in Frankenstein, and I love giving you a blowjob. Why, Mr. Seinfeld, I love having you